Today's shir is a schus for Fuhu Shleim for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Kuf Ches. We will begin on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Mishalach Lamdina Sayam, somebody traveled overseas and he left his wife at home, and his wife claims that she was left at home without a source of support. And when we speak about support, the Rishonim point out it doesn't only mean support for food, it's support for having where to live, support for medical needs. And the wife claims that her husband left without any means of support. Mishalach Medina Siyam, somebody went off to Medina Siyam. Vamar Echad, and somebody volunteered, or Pinas Asishtoi. He volunteered to support this woman. He was never asked by the husband nor was the wife, the way the Rishonim explained, asked him to lend her the money. Rather, he saw the situation of this woman, left without a means of support, and on his own he went to be helpful and support this woman. And now the husband comes back. And as the husband comes back, he goes to the husband and says, I supported your wife this entire time. Please pay me back for what I laid out money for the support of your wife. Certainly, as I said, the Rosh's opinion is that had she said to this man, please support me. So now the man, the one that owes the one that has to take care of the situation is actually the wife. She was the one that borrowed the money. And she could go after her husband and tell him, you left me without any means of support. But that's not what happened here. What happened here was, explains the Rosh, that he went and supported her on her own. So Khan says, since nobody asked him directly to do so, even as a Moisov, he loses his money because he loses his money. The husband does not have to repay him because the husband did not get anything from him, because the fact that he paid off the husband's obligation, that is not considered as if the husband got something from him, that now the husband has to repay it. The B'nai Ka'anim G'daylam disagreed. V'amri Yishava, the person who laid out the money should swear kama hoitzi, how much he laid out. V'yitol, and he is right to collect it from the husband. Because their opinion is that if I pay off your debt on your behalf, you have to pay me back. Amr Abdoysa ben Chanukkanes k'devreim. He agreed with the opinion of the B'nai Kohanim G'doylem. Amar Yochim Mezake, but Rabbi Yochim Mezake says, Yofa Amar Chanan, Chanan's position is correct, because this person who laid out the money, left his money on the top of an animal. What he did was something that he completely took responsibility for himself, and it's like leaving money on a wild animal. Taisus asks, why did Chanan say that he is not obligated to pay back, the husband is not obligated to pay back for what he laid out? The halacha is, we've learned this previously in our Masechta, and our pay, that if I go into your property and I plant on your property, so I benefited you, you have to pay me back for what I did. So why is this any different? So Taisus says, because over there, there's a profit. I took your property, which was completely left with no one doing anything with your property, and I went and I planted on your property. So because I did you that favor, that I planted on your property, and I caused that you should have a profit, that is why the halacha is that you have to repay me. Here, when he paid for this woman's support, he didn't gain anything the husband did not gain anything by his wife being supported this way. And since the husband did not gain anything by being supported this way, that's why you can't compare the two cases. Tanan Hossam. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, a Masechta in the Dorim. The Mishnah says, Hamud Anam Mechaveroi. If somebody says that I can't have any benefit from you, and you can't have any benefit from me. The halach is shoklei shiklei. The halach is, of course, we just discussed the other day, that every year a person has to pay his, give a machzis a shekel. Could I give machzis a shekel on behalf of a person that he and I can't have any benefit from each other? Says the Gemara, shoklei shiklei. I could pay for your machzis shekel. Pareis chayva, the amount that you owe somebody else, I could pay off, and it's not considered that I benefited you in any way. And since it's not considered that I benefited you in any way, that's why I could pay off. That's why I could pay off your debt. Machzalei avdasai, and if either one of us lost something, we could return the lost item. Makom shnoitlam schar. But in the place where the minika is, that somebody who does the mitzvah Shavas Aveda, so the person who had the tircha, the bother of doing that mitzvah, gets reimbursed for it. The halach is that benefit, no, I can't benefit from you, so you can't pay me for doing the mitzvah Shavas Aveda. So the halach is, but if I don't take money from you, that means you will benefit, which is also usur. So therefore, the halach is tepel anol yom ha-melech. The Bar Tanura, in Masechta Nedarim, when he discusses this halacha, asks an interesting question. He asks that whenever we have such a case in Shas, the Gemara usually says tepel anol yom ha-melech, that it should be taken to the yom ha-melech. Here it doesn't say anything about the yom ha-melech. Here it says hegdish. So he explains, this is an important word of introduction as we are going to be Mitzshem learning Masechta Nedarim, that the operative word in the Dorim is kenamis. Kenamis means hegdish. Explains the Bar Tanura, since here we're speaking about a neder, and a neder is compared to hegdish, that's why the halacha is that the hanor has to be given to, that I'm not allowed to benefit from you, you're not allowed to benefit from me, goes to hegdish. So the way Tosfos explains the Mishnah that we just quoted in Masechta Nedarim is the easiest way of explaining is that both of us assert, both of us prohibited benefit one from the other. And therefore, since we can't benefit from each other, I can't take wages from you for taking care of your Aveda, nor can I allow you to keep those wages, because that means indirectly you're benefiting from me, and that's why it's put to hegdish. The Rishonim ask a very interesting question. Rishonim asks that this Mishnah that we just quoted is a Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. They ask that the Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, says that if Reuven is made a hanor with Shimon, they're not allowed to give tzedakah to each other, even though giving tzedakah is a mitzvah. So our Gemara just taught us that I am allowed to return your lost object. Why? Because there's a mitzvah to return your lost object. I may not benefit from doing so, but I'm allowed to do so. Why is Hashavas Aved and giving tzedakah different? So Rabbeinu Yonah answers, there's a difference between the mitzvah of tzedakah and the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. He says, because the mitzvah of tzedakah doesn't obligate me to give tzedakah to any one specific individual. I could give the tzedakah to anyone. And therefore, deciding to give tzedakah to a person who's not allowed to have benefit from me is considered as if I'm benefiting this person. And therefore, I'm not allowed to give him the tzedakah. However, giving back somebody something that he lost is not considered that I'm giving him anor. I'm obligated by the mitzvah Shavas Aveda to return his object to him, and there's no other way to fulfill the mitzvah besides giving it to him. Ritva explains that Hashavas Aveda is not really considered giving a monetary benefit, because all I'm giving back to this person is something that belongs to him. Even though, of course, returning the object is a service which has a monetary value, but I'm not doing it for the monetary value purpose. And as we just learned, I'm not even going to take money for it. I'm doing it because I want to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And therefore, giving tzedakah to Shimon is usur, because I'm giving him a gift. Giving him back something that really belongs to him is not considered having done a gift. And therefore, since it's not considered giving him something that's a gift, that's why it's mutter. The Shal Setshuvas HaRadvaz, Chel Beis, Simon Tuf Kuf Samach Zayin, discusses, as we are learning in our shir, where you have two individuals, Reuven and Shimon, that in a lot of bit, none will have benefit one from the other. And one owes the other one money. Could he be meichel him the amount that's owed to him? Is forgiving alone considered as if I gave him hanah, as if I gave him benefit? And if it's considered as if I gave him benefit, then the halacha would be that I would not be allowed to do so. So Ritva says that just like we learned in our Gemara, Pareya is chayvay, paying off a debt on his behalf is not considered giving him benefit, because as we're going to get deeper in our shir, all that's really considered a pialocha is just taking something off his head, but it's not considered giving him direct benefit. So Ritva says forgiving him a debt is in the same category. It's not considered that I gave him benefit and I would be allowed to be Michael Dechayv. The Shal Setshuvas Kol Al Yo disagrees. And he says that because our Gemara is only referring to a situation of Perei Lechayvai paying off a debt that he owes someone else. But the Shal Setshuvas Kol Al Yo suggests that if it means paying off a debt that he owes me, and we're not allowed to have hanah from each other, the halacha is that it's considered as if I pay, it's as if it is considered as if he had benefit from me. The Shal Shuas Cheshuke Chemed has a very interesting discussion. He says there was a Baal Simcha who made a simcha in the shul, and there were guests that came to the shul, and they got aliyas, and when they got their aliyah by the Mishaberach, they promised money for the shul. And then this host went that his guest should not have to pay debt because of his simcha. And he went and asked the gabbai, what is the total value of all the money that was promised? And he gave that amount of money to the shul. Do the people who promised money to the shul still have to pay off their debt? We just learned the concept of Pereyas Chayvoy, that I could pay off somebody's obligation. But here, it's somewhat different. The halacha here, these individuals made a neder for tzedakah. And since these people made a neder for tzedakah, the halacha is that they have to fulfill that obligation, even if the cause which was supposed to receive the funds received the fund anyway. So the Rav Shach discusses this. Rav Shach says that the halacha is that the person could pay off his debts, because the main point here is that he paid off. The tzedakah should get the money that's promised. And if the tzedakah gets the money that it's promised, then that was the goal of these Mishaberach. And the goal of the Mishaberach was accomplished. And that's very much included in what we just learned in our Gemara of Pereya as Pereyas Chayvai. The Shul Setshuvas Oneg Yontif says that tzedakah is different. And even though there's a concept of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh, so I could take care of your obligation, tzedakah, if you took upon yourself to give tzedakah, then you have to give it yourself. So now, we discussed, we just quoted the Mishnah Masechta in the Dorim that discussed all the cases where I could do something on behalf of somebody who's not allowed to benefit from me. It says, Marbishlama Shekel Shekloi, I could pay his Machsa Shekel on his behalf. Mitzvah covered. I'm doing a mitzvah. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, the way Rashi explains this Gemara, even if I had not paid off his Machsa Shekel, we learned the Kabbanis, all the Kabbanis Tzibur, come from the Machsa Shekel. So explains Rashi, as we're going to learn now, the point of what we're going to learn now is that even if I didn't actually participate and give a Machsa Shekel, the Machsa Shekel, the halacha is that the Kabbanis are brought on my behalf. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam Shekel Shekel, Mitzvah covered. If the person for whom I gave the shekel will have a share in the kabbonis, even if he doesn't actually participate. The Tan, as we discussed in our previous shir, they used to put all the coins of the machsa shekel in a special chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, and then they used to do trumas halushka, take three chests, and put the coins into those chests. And Alochas Tarmin, when they take those coins, they have in mind Ha'ovid. If somebody sent his Machsa Shekel and got lost, Vala Govui, somebody's money who hasn't just arrived to the Beis HaMikdash, Valasa Ligvois, if it wasn't even collected. So we see that the Machsa Shekel could be used even for a person who didn't even participate yet in the Machsa Shekel. So that's why I really didn't benefit him, because he would have had the schus of the mitzvah even without me giving a machsa shekel on his behalf. Machsla evadasai, if I return his machsa aved to him, nami. All I'm doing is mitzvah covered, as we explained a few moments ago. My point is to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The fact that the person that is receiving the machsa shekel, the person that's receiving the Aveda, is a person that's not allowed to have an off from me, that doesn't change. Because the reality is, because I'm intending to do the mitzvah machsa shekel. Others explain, in line what we said a few moments ago, that I'm giving back something that really belongs to him. So I'm not giving him something that's not his. The fact that I am the one that's doing it, that's not really the main point here. The main point is that I'm giving him back something that's his anyway. Another explanation that the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina suggest is that Hashavas Aveda is not optional. Every person has an obligation that if he finds something that was lost by someone else, Hashavas Aveda, to return it. So I'm just doing what I'm obligated to do. Since I'm obligated to do this, that's why it's not considered that I'm benefiting him. Machsla Aveda, nami mitzvah avid. Ela parei lo chayva, but when I pay off a debt on his behalf, ask the Gemara, hakam shtar shalei, I'm doing him a favor, he's profiting, he won't have to pay this debt because I already paid it off for him. Amar Rav Hoshea, to which Rav Hoshea explains, Hamani, who was the Tan of this Mishnah? Chanani. The Omar, that the halacha is that if somebody laid out money for a woman who was left without a means of support, even like myself, he lost his money because I have no recourse for that money if I laid out the money for that woman. Here too, if I paid off the debt of someone who may not benefit from me, I'm not doing him a favor. Because according to Chanon, that person doesn't have to repay me. He didn't ask me to pay off his debt. And since he didn't ask me to pay off his debt, so then he doesn't have to repay me. And so, but according to the Chachamim, who disagree in our Mishnah, and the Chachamim in our Mishnah say that if I laid out money for this woman, the halacha is that she could come, that now I would have to, and now the husband comes back, I do have recourse back to that man and ask him for the money I laid out. The Chamim will have presumably hold that I can't pay off a debt for someone who's not allowed to have anor for me. Rav Avafil Tema, even that we could suggest that that Mishnah Masech Nedarim even followed the opinion of Rabbanan. Hachem Ma'eskinen, the Mishnah in Masech Nedarim is referring to a situation, Shalov Amanash Loi Lefroya, that the Malva can never demand payment back. So since the Loiva will not be obligated to pay it back, because the way they structured the Choiv was that he doesn't have to pay it back, since it was structured that way up front, I'm not doing him a favor. And the way the Meiri explains the Gemara, what does it mean that he structured the loan that he doesn't have to pay back? He said it was given to him, and the way it was given was, I'm giving you a loan. If you'll be able to pay back, great. And if you can't pay it back, then it should be tztaka. So since he always has the option of treating this money as a tztaka, so that's why I'm not doing him a favor by paying it back. Rashi seems to learn that it doesn't have to be structured that way. The fact that nobody can ever demand that he pay back for the money, the fact that there can't be a demand that he pay back for the money is enough that it should not be considered that I'm doing a favor because he could have lived his whole life without paying back this loan. So we had two ways of explaining our the Mishnah Masech Nedarim. One way of explaining the Mishnah Masech Nedarim was by saying it follows the opinion of Chanon. And the other way, that was Rav Oishi's approach. Rav's approach was that it could follow both Chanan and the Rabbanan. Says the Marbishlam, Rav Lomik Rav Oishi. Rav didn't want to explain the Mishnah like Rav Oishi, the Maikim Lok Rabbanan, because he wanted to explain that that Mishnah should be consistent even with the opinion of Rabbanan. Asked the Gemara, however, El Rav Oishi, my time Lomik Rav, why didn't Rav Oishi explain the Mishnah like Rava, where we get the benefit of being able to explain the Mishnah even according to Rabbanan? Amalek Rav Oishi, nada noilasle. Yes, as we just explained, Rashi's pshat, the Miri's pshat, that the loan was structured in a way that it doesn't have to be returned, the money doesn't have to be returned. And since it was structured in a way that it doesn't have to be returned, so when I'm paying the money off, when I'm paying on his behalf, I'm really not doing him a favor because he wasn't going to have to pay that loan anyway. But says the Gemara, still, ksufa mi lesle, if I borrowed money, am I not embarrassed not to have not to pay back? Hasa nami. So therefore, in that case, isle hano, the person who I'm paying back the debt on his behalf, is benefiting, but he hano, the mechsevenei, the hanor, that the loiva will not have to be embarrassed from the malva, that look at him and say, I owe you money, I didn't pay it back. By me paying it back on his behalf, I'm doing him that favor. And now we could understand, say the Mepharshim, why Rashi did not like the Meiri's pshat. Because according to the pshat of the Meiri, it's stalker. So it's not the same as the embarrassment of not paying money that I owe. We learned earlier in the Mishnah that Admon said a halacha and the Chachamim disagree with him. Now we're going to continue learning halachas in the coming Mishnayis that Admon said and the Chacham disagreed. Admon Amish Shiva. Admon said several halachas. Mishmeis, someone passed away. V'niach banam abanos, and he left sons and daughters, b'zman chasam arubim, when he has adequate assets. And there's a machlokes rishonim, what is the definition of adequate assets? Some rishonim say that there's enough for supporting the girls till for the next 12 months, and others say there's enough to support the girls until they become bigrus. Because as we've learned so many times, one of the tanaik suba is that the husband will continue the supporting his daughters until they become bigrus or until they get married. So, mishmeis v'niach banam v'banos, b'zman shenechasam merubim, when the husband left over, as we just described, adequate assets, habanim Yarshim. The son get all the assets as Yerusha, Vabanas, Nezainas, and the daughters get supported. However, if he only left over, unfortunately, Nechasim Watim, Habanas Yizainu, the girls get supported, Vabanam Yachzor Al Pesachim, and the children, and the sons should go collect. To which Adman comments, Adman Amar, Beshvilsha Nezacha Hefsarati, because I'm a boy, I should end up losing, that really the son, as we know, is entitled to the entire Yerusha. Here what's happening is that the son, not only is he not getting his entire Yerusha, but he's going to be left to want to collect Staka. And as the Marit explains what Adman means to say, even though, as we just quoted, there's a Tanai Ksuba that the girls will be supported off of the father's estate, that Tanai was not meant to be totally detrimental to the sons. And here what's happening, says Adman, that the sons completely lose out, because not only won't they get any Yerusha, they're going to have to go collect Staka for their support. And indeed, says the Gemara, Amra Gamliel, Royani Estivri Adman. I agree with Adman. My comer, says the Gemara, how do we understand the statement that Adman just made, Beshvil Shani Zoch Efsarati? Amra Abaye, says Abaye Hachikomer, this is what Adman meant to say. Beshvil Shani Zocher, V'roi Lasik B'Torah. I can learn Torah, which men are obligated to learn Torah, and women are not. Hefsarati, should I lose out, that now because my father left minimal assets, I'm going to have to be busy collecting tzedakah, and I won't be able to learn Torah? Amalei Rava, says Rava, how could you explain Adman that way? Because if that's the way you're going to explain Adman, asks Rava, then means man da asu b'tayru yaris, the son that's entitled to the Yerusha is only the son who learns Torah and says, well, you're depriving me of the opportunity to learn. And man da lo yasu b'tayru, if the son doesn't learn Torah, lo yaris, he's not entitled to Yerusha, Elama Rava. So that can't be, says Rava, the explanation in Adman. Rather, says Rava Hachkamer, Beshvil Shani Zachar Roy Lerish bin Nechasim Rubim, if there would be Nechasim Rubim, I would be the Yairish. So now, says Adman, in defending their position, Hifstadati bin Nechasim Atim, just because there weren't a lot of assets that should be left with nothing. Says the Mishnah, one of the halachas that we know throughout Shas is a concept of moedim amixas. The Torah says that if somebody approaches me and says, I owe him $1,000, and I'm moedim amixas, and I say that I owe $500. So the halacha is that a moedim amixas, a taina, if there was a partial admission, the halacha is I have to swear. And the explanation for moedim amixas is as follows, because we would think maybe just the other way. If I was so proper and I admitted, I could have said, I owe you nothing. Instead of saying, I owe you nothing, I was honest and I said that I owe you something. So why is the halacha that person is more obligated in a shvua than the person who was kaifer akol, than the person who denied owing anything? So we've learned the explanations as follows. There's a concept of ein adam meiz b'fnei bal chayvai. A person does not have the temerity to say to somebody whom he owes money to that I don't owe you money. And therefore, he really wants to admit that he owes the whole money, but he doesn't have the ability to admit it. He doesn't have the chutzpah to say that he doesn't owe money to a person that he owes an entire chayv. On the other hand, he didn't pay. So what does he do? So instead of saying that I didn't pay, because that he doesn't have the chutzpah to say, what he does is he says, I paid you partially. And that's how he sort of rationalizes in his mind not needing to pay everything that he owes. And because you have an individual, because of that psychology, the Torah HaKadosh said that the mind of a mixus, that the person who made a partial admission, the person who made this partial admission, Yeshava, needs to swear. Our Mishnah, Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, are going to be discussing situations to determine are they considered moedah b'miktsus or not. Hatanis chaveri kadei shemen. If somebody says that you owe me barrels of oil, for hoydan he agrees b'kankanim. He agrees that I owe you barrels, but he doesn't agree that I owe you oil. Admin oimer, hoyal v'hoydu b'miktsus atayna. Admin considers this a situation of moedah b'miktsus because I agree that I owe you barrels, and therefore Allah is Yeshova. The Chamayim, Ein Haidam Mixus Miminataina. This is not considered Moedim Mixus. Because the way the Chachamim look at this back and forth is that this person says that I owe him oil and I owe him barrels. And I admit that I owe barrels. I completely admit to that. And in the oil, I completely say, I owe you nothing. So the way, according to the Chachamim, we look at this dialogue between these two individuals is if there's two separate issues going on between these two individuals. One is about the shemen, and one is about the barrels, and therefore it's not considered moedah b'miktsus. Amar Rav Gamliel, to which Rav Gamliel says, Raya nis devri Adman, I agree with Adman that it's considered one claim. Shmamina, learning our Mishnah, according to Rabbanan, that there is no chiyuv shvuah deraisa. It's not considered a situation of moedah b'miktsus because they're considered two separate discussions. Tana chita v'sayrim. If somebody comes over to me and says that I owe him wheat and barley, for hayde b'sayrim, and I admit that I owe the barley, and I don't, and I say I don't owe any wheat. The halach is according to Chachamim. We again, this should be viewed as two separate dinei Torah, and since it should be viewed as two separate dinei Torah, and there's no moedah b'miktsus here, and potter, I should not have to make a shvua of moedah b'miktsus. Ask the Gemara. If that's the proper way of understanding, so this is a question on a halacha that Rav Nachman of Mishmul taught us. Rav Nachman of Mishmul, Tana Chitim V'Sayrim. If somebody approaches me and says, I owe him Chitim V'Sayrim, and I admit to one of them, it is considered Chayiv, I have to make a Shvua, it's considered Moedim Amixis. Amr Behuda, Amr Rav. There's no question from our Mishnah on what Shmuel said. B'shetanoi b'mida. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the person who approached me did not speak to me about barrels at all. The reason he mentioned barrels was only as a way of identifying how much oil I owe him. So he said, I owe him the amount of oil that's put in to a certain amount of barrels. So he's not talking about barrels at all. He's only talking to me about oil. And since he's not talking about oil, he didn't talk to me about barrels at all. So when I admitted that I owe barrels, it has nothing to do with what he claimed for me, because he claimed for me oil, and I spoke about barrels. And this person never spoke about barrels. But in a case which Shmuel spoke about, where you demanded for me wheat and barley, and I admitted to barley, that's not the case of our Mishnah. And in that case, Shmuel says the Rabbanan would agree that it's considered moedah b'miktsus. But ask the Gemara, if the way to understand our Mishnah is that you didn't ask me for barrels at all you asked me for was just for oil, and all I spoke about was barrels, so why would Admin consider it a moedah b'miktsus? Why in our Mishnah does Admin consider this moedah b'miktsus? El Amar Rav Dekul Amar, if somebody says to me, you have 10 barrelfuls of oil, shemen katanle, you're asking for oil, the amount of kadesh shemen would just mention as a measurement how to know how much oil I owe you. The kakanim like katanle, and you're not asking me for barrels. In a case where asar kadesh shemen malayim yeshli etzlich, when you ask me that I owe you 10 barrelfuls of oil, that's a case where shemen v'kankanim kontoili. You're asking both for oil and for barrels. And when I admit any admission would make it into a moedah b'mitzvahs that even the Rabbanah would agree there's a chiyuv shvuah. Ki pligi, where is the machloikus in our Mishnah between Admon and Chachamim? Hechad amale asar kadosh shemi yesh li etzmach. Admon amale yesh loshin zeh loshin kakanim. This wording includes the barrels, and therefore you ask, and therefore when I admit to the barrels, it's considered a case of moedah b'mitzvahs. Rabban and Savri, ain loshin azel loshin kakanim. It's not considered that you asked me for barrels, so therefore I didn't admit to oil, and you didn't ask about barrels, and therefore it's not considered a case of moedah b'mitzvahs. Elatama, says the Gemara, the reason is the ain b'loshin azel loshin kakanim. So it turns out that at this point, the machloikus of Admon and Chachamim is really in our Mishnah, is really machloikus of interpretation of words. The question is, when somebody says Kaddish Shemen, is that include the barrels or not? The Chanan says it does, the Admon says it does, Rabbanan say it don't. Ha yesh b'loshin l'loshin kanim. If everybody would agree that the wording that was used doesn't only speak about the oil, but it speaks about the barrels as well, everybody will agree that that's considered a case of moedah b'mitzvahs. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to now understand our Mishnah, lay mitav to yuftar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Dom Rav Chiya bar Abba, tana chayna v'sita, soirim, v'od lebechem en potter. So even though we've been able to reconcile our Mishnah with Shmuel, but where we've opened up, that according to Rav Chiya bar Abba, if you claim to me chitim v'soirim, the halacha looks at it as two separate claims. And if I admit to one, it has nothing to do with the other. Says the Gemara, Amrav Simir Vashi, Nasa Kamisha Tana Rima B'Kliposai. The way you can't compare the case of oil in a barrel to Chitim and Tsarim, wheat and barley. Because we spoke about a pomegranate, for instance. A pomegranate and its peel, everybody is considers it one and the same. And therefore, let's say there was a claim on one and not on the other, it's still considered moedah b'mitzvahs because it's really one. So too, kadosh shemen, you can't keep the oil without having a barrel for it. And therefore, it's considered not like chitim and tsoirim, which are two totally distinct objects. Kadosh shemen is one. Maskla Ravina asks Ravina, remember like the kibas lementer. We could understand that the pomegranate and its shell are one object. You don't have to have a barrel for your oil. You, as the Gemara often in Shas discusses, you could keep the oil in an oil pit. So why is it considered one and the same? Says the Gemara, how do we have to explain our Mishnah? You say to me, I owe you 10 barrels of oil. Shemen, as far as the oil is concerned, I don't owe you any oil. Kankanim, nami, chamisha islach, chamisha leslach. I only owe you 5, not 10. Adma oimer, yesh, beloshin azeh. When you say kadosh shemen, there's loshin kankanim, that you asked me for barrels. And umigui dun kamishtaba kankanim, and we have now a machloikus, where we have a dispute. And I'm a moid of a mixus. And since, says Admoin, I have to swear on the Kakanim. You claim I owe you 10 barrels. I say I only owe you 5 barrels. So now there's a new concept. Says Admoin, Mishtabin Nami Hashemin, Aide Gilgal. There's a concept of Gilgal Shvuah. That even if in a case where you don't have to swear, there's a claim that you don't have to swear on, but if I have to swear, if I do have to swear, once I swear on everything. Where do we find this concept? We find this by a soita. We know that in order for a woman to be considered a soita, she had to have to go through all the exact procedures. And if all the exact procedures were not followed, she would not be considered a soita. But once a woman is a soita, and once she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash and she swears, so the Gemara Masechta Soita, Mitzvah Shem, teaches us that she has to swear for everything that he has a claim on her. Here too, on the Shemin, he's not a Moedah B'Mitzvah, says Admon. But once he's a Moedah B'Mitzvah on the Kankanim, the Shemin, he'll have to swear too as well. When you say Kaddish Shemin, you never spoke to me about barrels. And when I admitted that I owe you barrels, our dispute is about two different subjects altogether, because you spoke to me about oil and I spoke to you about barrels. Since we're speaking about two totally distinct subjects, two separate distinct subjects, this is not considered a moed b'mixus. Since it's not considered a moed b'mixus, say the Chachamim, there's no reason for me to have to make a shvuah.